Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about that kick-ass 102-99 win over the San Antonio Spurs.
Hell yeah, Mark. What else do you want from a team? This is the funnest win that we've had this year yet. It was fucking awesome.
Damn right it was awesome, man. Well, we're so happy that everybody decided to join us. We're going to get started off with our game reaction. Then we're going to go to our stats. We'll go quarter by quarter after that. We'll talk about our offensive and defensive takeaways, our upcoming schedule, our fan of the game, and of course, our rant is back. Thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm.
It was awesome to be able to see Horford make Patty Mills change directions, and he was met by Maladone for an incredible trap. It was awesome. Caused the double dribble, and to give us the ball with just over 3 seconds left in the game was simply amazing.
Yeah, it was. You know, going into that play before that defensive stop, we had, you know, we were in a situation where we didn't have the last shot. It was tied, and we were trying to build a little bit of a lead. And when SGA took that deep three and it didn't go in, you know, that really changed things around. It felt like we went from a game where we had a really good chance to win to we were going to have to really almost get lucky or, you know, create our own luck in that situation. And that's what happened on that play was we went out there and we forced Patty Mills, who's one of the most experienced players in the NBA, into a mistake that's so uncharacteristic of him that it was so impressive by our team. And then what we did with that opportunity was really awesome.
Yeah, just having a coach design the play where he knew the pass to Al Horford was going to be an incredibly difficult pass. That's why he had SGA throw the ball in, and that's why they had Horford isolated like he did. And the second that Horford caught the ball and was able to get around the guy, immediately I knew he was going to pass the ball. I was looking to see who was in the corner, and I saw it was Dort, and I knew he was already on fire, making two of the last three shots that are three-pointers he had taken. I was immediately, my hands were up. I started yelling. I knew the shot was good. It was just amazing. I love having a game like this that we were able to win in the last second of the game. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, man, definitely. I was yelling too, but my kids are sleeping, so I had to keep it quiet, but there was nothing stopping me from yelling. When that shot went in, it was just like, you know, we've watched this team mature so much. Specifically, we watched Lu Dort mature so much over the last year and a half, really. What he's been able to do has been nothing short of spectacular, and the way that coach and his whole team trusted him to take that final shot, you know, that's just indicative of the hard work he puts in, and watching him lay on the ground, sprawled out there, and watching his teammates pile on top of him, you know, I could tell that he was just, you know, he was really, really, you know, in the moment, and he was just experiencing that moment for everything it was worth. There was nothing there that was artificial or fake, and that was incredible. And to me, watching Darius Bazley, you know, be the number one guy jumping on him was really critical. Bazley had a really tough game. Bazley didn't score any points, but he was able to still not be feeling selfish, was completely in the moment. And this is something that I've got back and told you a few times, which with Bazley is this. When he has that breakout game, all of his teammates are going to get really pumped up, and they're going to be all over him because of the way that he encourages them, even when he's struggling.
Abso-fucking-lutely, Mark. Like, the way that he was able to get excited, and we've all been there, Mark. We've all been there where we've had shitty games, and we have to go out there and get excited about our other teammates having big games. And it's just part of life. But the way that Bazley was able to push away all the negative thoughts that he had been thinking about, he was 0 for 8 in field goals, 0 for 3 in three-pointers. And the way that he was continuously able to get rebounds throughout the night was huge. And he was able to contribute without scoring. And then again, we saw him go crazy at the end of the game in favor of Dort and just going nuts with Dort. This is the type of team camaraderie that we love to see. This is exactly what Mark and I get excited about. And this is exactly why we are here on this Thunder podcast talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, because let's face it, if you don't get excited about this, then you're not a Thunder fan. You're just not. You know, anybody who's sitting there and be like, I want to lose every game by 1 point, you're not a Thunder fan. Stop acting like you are. Stop acting like you're better than everybody because you think you want to lose to win. That's a failed philosophy. It's never worked in the NBA, so get over yourself. It's not going to work. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to save the rest of that rant for later. We're going to go straight in to our stats, okay? Dort, people keep saying he's the man of the day. I mean, obviously, to me, it's SGA, but Dort hit that three, so we got to give him the props. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and he shot 4 for 7 from three-point land.
He had just a spectacular fourth quarter. I think one of the best fourth quarters he's had since being a Thunder player. This is exactly why I love Dort. I love it that he has so much heart and he's fighting. I love the fact that his Canadian spirit was showing tonight. This is exactly what we love from a young man that's still learning how to play in the NBA. And this is why Mark and I are so excited about him. Like, look at what he did tonight. He played 31 minutes. He shot 4 for 7 from three-point range against the San Antonio Spurs. This is exactly what we want from him, and that we see his future being with the Thunder as getting those 8 three-point shots a game and being able to sit back and enjoy having 12, 14, 18, 22 points a game. We don't think he's going to turn into one of those 40-point game average guys at all, or 35-point game average guys, but we do think that Dort has a huge place on this team in the future. He is a massive foundation block for this team.
You know, Al Horford had a great game. He was 2 for 6 on threes. He had scored 16 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and really, he made that pass at the right time to Dort. Over and over and over again, he went on scoring runs. He made the tough rebound, and he made the right pass to help us win the game.
7 fucking assists tonight. He was passing the ball incredibly accurate. He was getting the open guys. He was making sure that he took the extra dribble if he needed to in order to get that guy open. He is playing an elite level of basketball right now, and I continue to get incredibly excited that Horford is on this Oklahoma City Thunder team, being able to lead them in the way he is.
For sure, man. All right, so Tayo Maledon, 1 for 4 on threes. He scored 3 total points. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists. But really what sticks out to me is those 4 steals he scored.
Those 4 steals, and then that turnover that he caused by closing out properly was something spectacular. The second that turnover happened, you saw him get all excited. That's the most emotion I've seen in Maledon since being on the Thunder. He went crazy. He's jumping up and down. He was so excited. He knew what he did was right. And like you said, he got four steals. Now, this is not the only time he's had 4 steals or more in a game this season. So I think it's something that we're starting to see him get more comfortable in doing. And I'm getting really excited about how he's maturing very, very quickly right now.
For sure, man. And SGA, who had his career high in the third quarter, he ends up shooting 6 for 11 on threes. He scored 42 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. And also, he shot all of our free throws for us. He shot 10 for 11 on the game.
That is a crazy stat, man. 10 for 11 out of 10 for 11 free throws. I mean, this is insane. He scored 42 points on 20 shots. 42 points on 20 shots. He is one of the most effective guards in the league. And I think I have to even give him more of a standing ovation about this, is because I felt like he was the biggest snub of the All-Star completely. And he comes out here and plays like a fucking madman. This is fucking awesome.
Hamidou Diallo, 5 points, 1 of 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And he left the game, I think, before the second half started with a groin soreness. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's right. It's unfortunate, but he plays at a very high level, so above the rim. So a groin injury is something that you do not want to fuck around with. You want to make sure that they're healthy, especially with the groin. So I'm excited that coach pulled him off and the training staff decided to give him a rest, recognizing that pushing that groin is not something you want to do.
Isaiah Roby, 1 for 2 on three-pointers. He scored 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, and one of those rebounds was offensive. It was great to see him out there and really giving Aldridge trouble also.
Yeah, he really did give Aldridge trouble. The way that he was able to draw him out too was something that was great. He created, committed 4 fouls or 5 fouls, but I felt like the physical play that he was doing was definitely needed. He is continuing to impress me no matter who he's matched up against. He takes it on the chin, he rises to the occasion, and he plays mad ball, and I love it.
Kenny Williams, 1 for 1 on three-pointers, 3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, and one of his rebounds were offensive.
Yeah, again, he's another – we only have one guy that didn't hit a three-pointer this game, which is, again, amazing team stat. But Kenny, he shot 1 for 1 for three-pointers, and it was exactly what we needed at the time. He continues to play all out. He had a block. He had a couple turnovers, but again, this is something that we expect when he's playing at this high level and he's playing so fast paced right now. I was really excited that he was able to get 18 big minutes and led the team and led the bench in minutes tonight.
Yeah, and he never gives up an offensive rebound. He always is hustling, and he was able to have at least one time where he was able to knock the ball off of the San Antonio player. So it doesn't count as an offensive rebound, but it gives us an extra possession, and I love those. Justin Jackson, 1 for 3 on threes, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And, you know, you could tell he was really keyed in on defense. His rebounding was on point, and, you know, him going out there and playing those key minutes and knocking down that three was really critical.
It really was. We just love this young man. We feel like he has a great future in the NBA. He just needs some time to develop. So Justin Jackson has definitely continued to play well, and he was really asked to step up after Hami went out, and I really felt like he did a really good job at producing from the bench.
Mike Muscala, 1 for 5 on three, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, 1 offensive rebound that was good for a putback dunk that was pretty fucking spectacular.
Yeah, you know, I love the fact that you ended with Mike off of our bench. He led the team from the bench on scoring, but he did so many amazing things tonight. Like you said, his offensive board was huge. There, he had a big block. There's so many things that we get excited about when he continues to play the way he's playing. So this was an amazing job by our bench. The way that they continued to play together and got excited about this was awesome.
Yeah, overall, we shot 41% from the three-point line. It was 18 for 44. Like you said, every player except for Baisley was able to knock down a three. And in the end, we needed all of them.
But Murray was playing awesome. It's something that I continue to be impressed with is how well he's doing. I think that he is perfect for Coach Popovich in the style of offense that he loves to run. So this is something that we, Mark and I, both have circled and talked about many times is how Dort was going to be able to play on Murray and how he was able to contain him in a way that was, you know, like he did. And something I have to throw out there, and I know we're still getting on through the stats, but Dort didn't have a foul tonight at all. And to me, that's exactly what we need from our starters, is to be able to play hard like that without having to sit down and rest because of foul trouble. And Dort continues to play amazing defense without fouling. And when he does foul, it's an incredibly fucking smart foul. Whether they have a fast break and he fouls or whatever the circumstances, whenever Dort fouls, it's smart, and I love it. This is exactly what we love to see from these guys. This is exactly what we want to see from the team defense like they were playing tonight. This is an incredibly amazing win, and as you can tell, I am completely jacked about it. Yeah, just because I was saying 0 fouls from Dort for the game, we only had 4 fouls from our starters tonight. We had 1 foul from SGA, who played 38 minutes. We had 2 fouls from Maladone, who played 35. Horford played 30 minutes and only committed 1 foul. And we got 30 and 31 by Baisley and Dort, and neither one of them committed a foul tonight. So this is exactly one of the big reasons we were able to win, is we took a play out of San Antonio's playbook on defense, and we were able to execute it so well.
Absolutely, man. So we're going to go ahead and get into the quarter-by-quarter recap. To start out the game, we started with Baisley, Tao, Lou, Al, and SGA. The Spurs had a kind of a depleted lineup. They had a number of players that were missing, but like Michael Cage said, you know, when you play against a team like the Spurs, it's the system that you're playing against more than the players.
You know, Michael Cage, I love it when he talks like this. To me, it's like dirty talk, and I love it because he's absolutely right. You know, like, this is exactly what you're getting with the San Antonio Spurs, is the system. You're playing the system. You can, you know, put anybody in anywhere in any position in the Spurs system and they'll fit. That's what I love. I love how Coach Popovich coaches. And I think that this is exactly, you know, Michael Cage is exactly right. You're playing the system. You have to get ready for the system, and the players will make sense once it's on the court.
Right. And the San Antonio Spurs had been out. They hadn't played a game since Valentine's Day, and they had some issues, they were saying, with even leaving Charlotte. And so they were kind of out of sync at first, and, you know, frankly, we were too. The game started off with Al getting a bucket, and Dort was able to get a drive and get a bucket himself, and then SGA was able to get his first bucket. So we were up at 6-4 at that point. Dort was able to get another bucket off of Al assist, and, you know, at that point we were tied at 8, and things were going, you know, pretty decent for us, but clearly we had another level. SGA was able to knock down his first three at 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter on a dribble up and when the player went under the screen. Let's see, we had a couple of plays where we got some offensive rebounds. Tao got one of his steals. SGA was able to hit another three off of an Al assist. What else? We had Kenny was able to get the offensive rebound tip that I was talking about. And then with 4 minutes left in the quarter, SGA knocked down a step back three off of a Justin Jackson screen and kind of, off of a Roby screen anyway. And that put us up 17-12. Let's see. Justin Jackson knocked down his only three of the game off of a Kenny assist with 3 minutes and 22 seconds left. That put us up 20-14.
Yeah, again, we're playing amazing team basketball right now. It doesn't matter who has the ball in their hands. They love to share it. They love to find the open guy. And it shows game in and game out that we're consistently putting up 20-plus assists a game. And it's just, I mean, just beautiful basketball. I don't even know what else to say except it's just beautiful. It's all working incredibly well together. It's just a beautiful thing to be able to watch. And like Mark said, it was the guys were passing the ball in the first quarter like it was butter, and it was just awesome.
There's a sequence with 3 minutes left where Kenny got a block, Justin Jackson grabbed the ball, dribbled up, got the assist to Hami when he was streaking down the court for a big dunk. It was really great to see Hami just cock it back and slam down the hammer. That put us up 22-14. Roby was able to get a block. SGA was able to knock down a side dribble three. And then with a minute and 25 left, Roby was able to knock down a three off of a Hami assist. That put us up 28-19. But the Spurs were able to knock down a bucket and bring the game to 28-22. Right before we go to the second quarter, I want to talk a little bit, though, about the last play of the first quarter. We ran a clear out for Isaiah Roby to attack the basket. Now, LaMarcus Aldridge was able to get the defense to stop, but to me, it wasn't about the play, how it ended. It was about how it began and the fact that our coaches and our players trusted him at the top of the key to break it down. And you know what? It may not have converted this time, but this is not about the results. This is about the process. And the fact that they did that says more to me about his game than anything else I've seen up to this point.
You have to prove to the players you're willing to trust them, no matter who they're playing against. And this is exactly what we wanted to see from Coach D, and allowing Isaiah Roby to isolate right there against LaMarcus Aldridge and do something, in my opinion, was, again, it's not necessarily the outcome that we wanted, but it shows you the trust that Coach has in him to be able to put the ball in his hands in the last seconds of a quarter.
So the second quarter, we started out up by six, and we exited the second quarter down by five. It wasn't pretty. Let's see. Roby started off the scoring for us with 10 minutes left in the quarter with a pull-up 17-footer. But at that point, that was to bring it back to tied. At 9 minutes and 40 seconds left, we call a timeout, and we are down by four. It was 30-34. Let's see. We had Moose was able to get us going and scoring a little bit more with a bucket on a kind of drive and a flip-in with 6 minutes and 20 seconds left. But that brought us down to five. So it was 32-37.
Again, we're fighting. That's what we want. Like, this is a young team, and, you know, Al had 30 minutes tonight, but really this young team was put into a fiery position, and I loved how they were able to fight through it. This was exactly what we needed.
Then there was a great bucket by SGA where he used a couple of ball fakes and was able to get into the lane. You know, that was really consistent all game. He used a lot of herky-jerky ball movement, ball fakes, you know, stops and starts, slow down, change of speed, change of direction. It was really great to see him, you know, get after it that way. Al was able to get a bucket also, and let's see, SGA knocked down a couple of free throws, and SGA got another bucket also. When he got that bucket, that was 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the quarter, and the score was 40-43, and we didn't score another bucket, and the Spurs only scored one more, so the score at the end of the quarter was 40-45.
I love the fact that we were able to play ugly basketball together. It made it look a whole lot better than it actually was.
So to start the third quarter, you know, it was an interesting start. It had me anxious, very anxious, and I don't like that feeling. But in the end, you know, we got started scoring pretty quickly with Al and a bucket off of an SGA bounce pass, assist. It was great pass in the lane. But then our scoring dried up for just about 2 minutes. And That was very difficult. By the time that we got two SGA free throws, the score was 44-53 with 9 minutes and 19 seconds.
Yeah, I felt like at that point we were going to have a hard time pulling out a victory, especially with it being the San Antonio Spurs. You know, but again, this shows you resilience of the team, and it shows you why whenever the Thunder are down in the third quarter or even the fourth quarter, you've got to turn on your TV. You got to start watching. You got to hyper watch what they're doing, because whatever they're doing is working. And we get down almost double digits every single game and able to crawl back and get within spitting distance. And tonight the outcome came our way, but there's been a bunch of times it hasn't, and it's been really interesting to see, but this is the best win, the funnest win that we've had tonight. And I don't know, I just get excited about the momentum that we're getting right now.
For sure, man. And after we were able to get, you know, scoring a little bit, so with 8 minutes and 50 seconds left, Dort knocks down a three off of an Al assist. And then the next time down the court, SGA gets a three and one. So a 4-point play. So that was seven consecutive points that pushed us into a spot where we were fighting. You know what I mean? We were really, really fighting.
You could tell that the competition that we've been playing recently has put us up to this moment, because the way that we were able to come out and the way we were able to crawl back yet again and put ourselves in a really good position in the fourth quarter is exactly what we want to see. I mean, we could go over this 100 million different times, and we're always going to get excited about this because the team is always going to crawl back. They're not going to lay down. And that's why this is what we think is the Oklahoma spirit, is it has that fight in them. And that's exactly what we love to see on this team.
For sure, man. And coming back after the San Antonio timeout, Al was able to knock down a three off of an SGA assist. And then what we've noticed so many times happen this season, which is Al kind of goes on a mini run. So he just, after he hit the three, he knocked down another bucket. So scoring five straight for him. That brought us down 58-62. And, you know, I just felt like at this point, we weren't just going to go away.
Yeah, we made it very clear to San Antonio that this is not going to be an easy win if you're going to get that. And again, we're talking about midway through the third quarter at this moment. And, you know, we only had 58 points. And it shows you the resilience, again, of this team. It's insane. I love it. I love how Al is able to score during our droughts. I love how Al is able to pass the ball to the guys that are open to get open shots. It's insane. This is exactly what we wanted to see, especially halfway through the third quarter.
So then SGA was able to knock down a three off of an Al assist. And then we were able to force the Spurs into a shot clock violation with 4 minutes and 45 seconds left. And that was sandwiched with SGA hitting another three, this time a step back. So with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left, we tied the game up at 65. And at that point, SGA had 15 points in the quarter.
He just went off. I mean, like, this is the type of person and the type of player that Mark and I have been talking about all year and getting excited about, because, like, he's going to have so many games like this for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the fact is, he took 20 shots tonight. 20 shots. That's it. That's it. And he was able to score 42 points. I mean, this is insane. This is exciting. I can't even tell you how ready I am for him to be able to continue to take this team and take it to the next level.
Yeah, man, for sure. And so SGA got another bucket after that. It was with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left. At that point, the Spurs had already scored three, so that brought us down one. And let's see, Kenny was able to knock down a three off of a SGA assist. Moose got that big offensive rebound dunk that we were talking about with a minute and 10 seconds left. That put us up by one, 72-71.
Again, hustle play. Hustle play by what he was able to do. I just get excited about this. This is exactly where we need to be. This is exactly the people that we need in there. Muscala was able to do some amazing things in the short amount of time that he had on the floor tonight. It was just great.
Right. At one point in this quarter, we were down by 11, but we were able to regain the lead, like I said. And not only that, we were able to build it a little bit. Roby and Moose were able to combine for a steal, and that was great to see. SGA got to the line again and knocked down a couple of free throws. And then SGA was able to beat the buzzer by using a finger roll that hit the rim, hit the backboard, and then dropped in. That was excellent to see, and went up by 3 points, 76-73.
Again, we just came back, and we came back ferociously, and I don't know. Like, this is something that we see a lot again this year, and we're going to continue to see, and I'm excited.
Yeah, at this point, SGA had scored 21 points in the quarter. He was at 38 points on the game, and he had already scored a career high at this point. He actually, his career high at this point was 34, so he was just, you know, racking them up and really just adding on to a career night.
He really was. And as the quarter ended, him, like Mark said, having 38 points, I was already writing down that we were, been, you know, 4-1 when he has scored 30 or more points, and I started circling 5? So, like, we're 5-1 when he scores 30 or more points, and he had that at the end of the third quarter. I thought he was going to go possibly for 50. I started getting super excited, but guess what he did? He was able to allow Dort to have his moment in the fourth quarter.
So, SGA played the whole third, I'm pretty sure, anyway. At least he played the closing part of it, and then he opened the fourth, which was unusual. I didn't expect to see that. But what he did then, Coach did then, was he sat him down after a little bit. We went on a dry spell to start the fourth quarter, and we went from being up 3 to down 8 with 10 minutes left. Coach called timeout, kind of to regroup and try to figure out if we could get going with something.
It's what we see a lot in the fourth quarter from Coach D. I love the fact that he was able to call timeout, try to get to see, you know, really judge to see how many more minutes he wanted SGA to get, how many more minutes Horford was going to get. And I felt like he felt like there was fight in this team, and he decided to leave the guys out there, and I'm so happy he did. This is incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And Teo was able to knock down a 3 when we came back after that timeout. He was able to get the assist from Roby, and that was great to see. It was such a great shot. Teo's shot is so pure, and his release is so good. And that's probably, to me, the most impressive thing about his game.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mark, that his stroke is definitely one of the greatest or best things about his game. But the way that he was able to get those 4 big steals tonight, man, his defense is unbelievable. And to be able to match up there with Dort and SGA on the court, and Maladon's able to hold his own against whoever he's matched up against, this is amazing. 4 steals tonight. It's just awesome. Like, this guy, this young man is ready to stay here in Oklahoma City for a very long time. He's going to fight for his spot to be able to start and be in the games at all times. I get so incredibly excited that Theo is on our team.
After that, Moose was able to knock down a 3 off of a Justin Jackson assist. That brought us down 2. And then we were able to get another great steal from Teo, where he passed the ball up to Justin Jackson for a bucket. That was with 7 minutes and 50 seconds left, and that was just before SGA returned.
Yeah, and I felt like this was a good time for Coach to put SGA back in the game. I felt like this was a good time for us to start getting some momentum. And just SGA had 38 points at that point, so I felt like he needed to be in the game in the fourth quarter as much as possible. So I was really excited that Coach was able to do that and get him in the game.
Then Baisley was able to get a steal and get the ball to SGA. SGA was able to find Al for a 3 with 7 minutes left, and that put us back in the lead, 87-86.
This was the quarter of the three-pointer, and I really felt like we did a really good job of executing what Coach's idea to get back into the game was. We just shot a very high percentage in 3 in the fourth quarter, and I really was really impressive with how the guys were able to execute what Coach's game plan was.
Then Al was able to force a jump ball by getting an excellent block, and that was really great to see, our defense really clicking. Then SGA was able to attack the basket, dribble underneath it, kind of reverse it, like the way Steve Nash used to do, kind of like go under the basket, not really looking to score. But then he used a spin move and was able to get a bucket, and that was, you know, just incredible. Watching him be elusive and find a way to take the lead back for us. At that point, with 5 minutes and 20 seconds left, we were up 1, 89-88.
The way that he is able to keep the ball alive, even if he's around the big guys down low, is something that's truly rare. I just love how he gets to the ground, how he is able to protect the ball, and how he's able to go up against the bigs as well. Like, this is unbelievable. This young man is truly something special. We are incredibly blessed that Sam Presti was able to recognize that he was a talent worth getting from Los Angeles Clippers, especially for Paul George. This is just truly amazing how he is blossoming and maturing so quickly.
So Dort was able to get a block, and then SGA was able to drive again like he did all game. At this point, he got a bucket with that put us up 91-88, and this was his 42nd point in the game.
Yeah, and that just capped off his scoring at that point. But there's so many things I want to talk about, but I'm just going to go ahead and wait until you're done with talking about the game, and then we can talk about it.
All right, man. So Dort was able to knock down a three with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left that put us up by 94-90. Teo was able to draw an offensive foul, and then after Dort hit another three, we went up 97-90. This was a Teo assist, and so we felt like we were in pretty good shape. But before we knew it, the Spurs scored five straight points, and with a minute and 40 seconds left, we were only up by two.
Yeah, Mark, keep it going, man. Keep it going.
I was able to get another bucket, and we were able to get the possession back. The game was tied at 99. There were six extra seconds from the shot clock and the game clock, so we knew we couldn't get the last shot in the game, but the question was, could we score? We didn't. SGA missed a deep three, and the Spurs got the ball back with 10 seconds left. In this case, you know, we felt like we needed to get pretty lucky, like I mentioned earlier, and we did. Patty Mills double dribbled with 3.9 seconds left.
Yeah, and you know, I said something in the beginning game. I felt like SGA's deep three, yes, it was a missed shot, but sometimes when you take a deep three like that, I feel like it's almost a turnover in the way that it's supposed to go. SGA just did a really good job throughout the night to take a great shot. But let's just talk about this defensive play right here. The way that Al Horford was able to go up against Patty Mills and make it so that the baseline was not available for him to drive. He cut that lane off, made Patty Mills switch directions, and Patty Mills was met by Theo Maledon, somebody that we're still trying to figure out how good of a defender he is. And guess what he did? He closed out perfectly. He made Patty Mills flinch just slightly. And the second that he did that, he picked up the ball and then he dribbled again. And that to me was one of the best defensive team efforts I have seen in a long time, especially with as much that was on the line. Theo did one of the best closeouts I've seen in a very long time.
So with 3.9 seconds left, we called timeout. We called it, drew up a play on the side out, and I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just completely impressed with when I saw that SGA was throwing the ball in. And to me, at first I was like, okay, you know, SGA has 42 points. I would expect SGA to come back and get SGA the shot at the end of the game. But I felt like the way that coach cleared everybody out and he put Dort in the spot that he wanted to shoot the ball at, and he had Al Horford and SGA pass Al an incredibly difficult pass, like the one of the harder passes I've seen in a long time. He needed to place it in a certain area, and if he got too short, it was stolen. If he got too far, it was stolen. It was so perfect. He caught it, was able to do a spin move really fast towards the bucket. Because of the lane and the where he was, Dort's defender had to sag in order to stop Al from getting a shot, which, again, this is why you have, when your play breaks down, you have your backups, your backup, and coach drew it up perfectly. So when the guy sagged down, the defender sagged down, Al passed the ball to a wide open Dort with 1.2 seconds to go.
Yeah, man, and it felt so money. There was so much space. There was no James Harden to close the gap and block the shot. We knew what was going to happen. That shot was going in. And it was his third three of the quarter, his fourth of the game, and Dort is for real.
Such a fucking clutch shot. I mean, like, seriously. Like, that was one of the best shots I have seen in a long time from him. The way that he was able to get his feet set, it was like the whole play was drawn up just for him because he was so ready for that basketball. He was so ready. He was so ready to catch it and shoot, and he did it. And it was, I mean, again, we're talking about Dort here. Like, they left Dort open, wide open for this shot. And when Dort is open, his percentage of shooting threes is off the charts. And that's exactly what coach wanted. That's exactly what the coaching staff was recognizing, is that San Antonio Spurs were going to make it so that Al wasn't going to be able to beat them and SGA wasn't going to be able to beat them. And he recognized that, and he was still able to get Al the ball to make the assist to win the game.
For sure, man. And now it's time to talk about our offensive and defensive takeaways. For me, on offense, it's all about that three-point shot. You know, there was a couple of times where we were down And before you knew it, we were back in the game because of like a Dort three and then a SGA 4-point play. Those types of things, you know, when you have every player on the court except for Bazley, who's not afraid of shooting the threes, who is knocking down threes, you have Isaiah Roby knocking down threes that really pulls Poeltl and Aldridge away from the basket. It was really impressive to see the whole team attack the three-point line.
Yeah, and I feel like you have to give a lot of credit to Al. I felt like Al had at least four, if not five, assists to three-point shots throughout the night. I feel like that was a consistent thing happening all night, and Al was able to find that open guy for the three-pointer because they would collapse, and Coach understood that, and that's why he made sure that Al recognized that the open guy was going to always be open. And our three-pointers that we hit tonight were open three-pointers. We hit 18 three-pointers. And what do you think, Mark? Like 14 of them were wide open?
Yeah, it seemed like we were taking the open ones for sure.
That's what we need. And that's exactly how we look at this way that we're able to execute the game plan in the fourth quarter as to waiting patiently for the guy that was going to be open to shoot the ball.
Yeah, and as far as defensive takeaways, I really want to focus on our aggression. It's something I noticed most of the game. I kept noticing we would really be pushing the pressure on the ball, try to create ways where they couldn't enter their offense in comfort. You know, it reminds me a lot of when I was coaching. That was constantly my goal, was to make sure that the other team couldn't run their offense simply by putting so much pressure on the ball. And that's what I noticed we were doing very effectively. And in the end, we continued to ramp up that pressure, and we were able to get Patty Mills to do the double dribble, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
I've never seen when the game's been on the line. I think that's the biggest thing to think about that is Patty Mills doesn't make turnovers like that. And if we look at it and the way that Coach was able to recognize that, and, you know, I don't think that this is a defensive play that Coach designed where Al Horford was going to have to switch on Patty Mills to try to cut off the baseline. I think it was a play that Al Horford, because he's a vet, was able to step in front of him. But the fact is that the defensive stop was all Maladone. That was something that was unbelievable for me to get excited about because, again, this is a 19-year-old kid that not only was playing against his mentor's team, that he was able to get the biggest defensive stop of his young career just like that, right in front of the San Antonio Spurs bench. It was beautiful.
Yeah, man, it was pretty awesome to watch knowing that, you know, Tony Parker was there and he was really cheering for Teo. You know that they have a close relationship. Like you said, he's his mentor. And I don't know if he cheers for the Spurs most of the time or not, but I know he was cheering for Teo. Let's talk about our upcoming games, man. We got the Hawks, the Nuggets, the Mavs, and the Spurs. And here's the thing about it, right? The Hawks game is... You know, that's manageable, but then we play the Nuggets, and that's a second night on a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one, really hard one. But you know what, though? I really like what our team is doing, and, man, you know what? Bring on those games. Bring on those nights because I think the team can handle it.
And then we have a couple days off in a row, and we find ourselves once again in a back-to-back, this time against the Mavs and the Spurs.
You know, one thing that you've said to me a number of different times is you hate off days, and I'm the same way. You know, the players have to think the same way because they're all young. And to me, this is really a great chance for us to get into that all-star break and just be able to have a true week break and be able to get these guys playing again together, getting George Hill healthy. And guess what? We saw George Hill coaching out there today. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I saw him pull Al Horford aside and was coaching him up. That was great to see. That just shows you how much respect the players have for each other. And that's awesome to see. All right, man, it's time to talk about our fan of the game. Once again, you know, I want to go ahead and focus in on the Twitter fans. Two people in particular. You know, obviously, I talk about Tencho and I talk about Dakota all the time. But there's a couple new people that I want to focus in on. Mr. Meeseeks, he's all the time out there, you know, defending this team and standing up for the players. And we mentioned him before, but Adam Krejci, man, he is just showing us the love on Twitter and standing up for this team. And when he said that my dad did a whole locker room speech about black lights and how cool they were, that had me cracking up. And I just appreciate him, you know, letting everybody know that my dad loves raves.
Totally. My dad will go to a rave anytime he wants, and he has a lot of fun.
So we appreciate you, Adam. We appreciate you, Mr. Meeseeks. Keep it up. We got to let the bastards have it. This is the time of the year where they still think that we are going to tank. Somehow the record of 13 and 19 to them just speaks Cade Cunningham. I don't know what delusional planet they're living on. I really don't give a damn because we're here to take over the podcast game, and we don't want them to suddenly realize how stupid it is to be cheering for a losing team when we're winning.
Yeah, let the losers be the losers, and let them cheer for, you know, the Thunder to miss the shot tonight, because the rest of us that are actually enjoying the Thunder play right now are enjoying the hell of just out of some beautiful, amazing basketball. And anybody that's able to watch the games and actually understand the games, and that's why we know the tankers aren't all sitting down watching the games. They don't necessarily care about the games. They just care about the stats. And Mark and I are sitting and watching the games, and all of our people that are listening that are analyzing the games with us, you guys recognize what we're recognizing. You're recognizing that this team was built perfectly, that these guys have a year together. And because of that, there's going to be some amazing, amazing games in the second half coming up and in the last five games that we have until the All-Star break. This is exactly how Mark and I looked at it in the beginning of the year. We wanted to be within spitting distance of 500 going into the All-Star break, and we have a chance to do that.
Yeah, we do. And then we've been talking about this all year. We've been talking about it when the times were hard, and we're not going to stop talking about it now that things are going our way. We have been looking at this part of the year all season long, and we keep saying the same thing. When we get here, then we can start looking at what we need to do to get back in things, and that's what's going on right now. I am so grateful that this team has stuck with it. I'm so grateful for the way that they have improved, and I see the camaraderie, and I love it. I love it so much. You know, I'm just, I told you this earlier, Dave, but I'll tell everybody else. You know, I just got on Reddit. Reddit is a very, very difficult place if you want to cheer for the Thunder to win. There are a lot of fans on Reddit that have not heard about the good news of the last storm. And so they run around and they still believe that they say things like this. Tankers love the team more because they're so committed to winning that they're willing to lose. They think that that makes them noble. But really all it does is makes them bandwagon fans. And we don't want front-running fans in this on this team. We want people who are committed. Acting like that they're committed to winning so much that they're willing to lose just shows you that those people need to go somewhere else, because I don't want them in my face.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to say that, because this win, this is one of the, again, another premier win in the last, you know, week and a half. This is exactly what we want from this team. Like, this is, I can't tell you enough. Like, this is what makes me excited about being able to watch the Thunder. And to me, there's so many beautiful things that we're able to take away from this game and really analyze it in a way that we can recognize what's happening in Oklahoma City is real. Like, this team is for real. They're only a couple games back from eighth place. Like, this team is going to fight and claw their way just like they do in every single win and every single game that we get down double digits. This team is going to make things difficult for every team except for if you're in the East and you don't have to worry about playing the Thunder.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, our favorite number one fan, Steve-O, he accused me of what he called propaganda in the truest sense of the word. And, you know, I understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that we're misleading people into believing things that aren't true, which is just completely false. All we're trying to do is tell people that we support the Oklahoma City Thunder. We focus on the player development, and we're willing to go every single day looking for the positives instead of the negatives. If he wants to call that propaganda, well, that's fine. But you know what? Steve already knows what he can do with a fig leaf that he offered me. And trust me, he's not interested in doing that. So in the end, I'm not interested in talking to him.
Yeah, man. Like, go fuck yourself, Steve. We really appreciate you, and we really appreciate the fact that you motivated us to do a better podcast than you. And, you know, just frankly, I think the chart showed itself. So point be taken, buddy. We love the fuck out of you, and we love your listeners. So any of them that want to continue to listen to us, we'll take you guys. So thank you very much. I also want to throw this out there. I really appreciate Mark and all the hustle that he's been doing on the side with all this Twitter and starting Reddit. Like, he has taken more shit than any other Oklahoma City Thunder fan has. since day one of the season. He continues to fight for this team because he likes the team. And I really want to say thank you, because you definitely, in my opinion, deserve to be a fan of a game. And I feel like this is a good time for you to be able to be one.
Well, thanks, dude. I appreciate that. To me, it's not about that. Like, to me, it's about focusing in on the people who are supporting this team. I know, like, I live my life like on the razor's edge, man. I go around and I'm pretty edgy, man. And so getting into fights is not something new for me, you know, but a lot of our Twitter followers and Facebook followers and now Reddit people, they're not used to this confrontation. And so it makes them uncomfortable. And I feel bad. I know for sure some of our followers have lost friends for deciding that they want to support the team instead of supporting the tank. Think about that. I haven't lost anything. My kids still love me. They make me cakes when we hit the charts again and we hit the new highs and stuff. Like, I haven't lost anything. People have literally lost friends over this. And that's, to me, just shows you the shallowness of the tankers and Andrew Schlecht and Steve-O and all these people who have decided that if you don't agree with them about losing being the only way to winning, that they don't even want you in their lives. And in the end, I knew that that's how it was. I understood that before I came, because I listened to their podcast and I could hear the vindictive and evil words they would say. Things like, if you want to cheer for a team to win 45 games and make the playoffs, go cheer for somebody else. And so we just repackaged that and we told them, if you want to cheer for a team to tank and has a bunch of top picks, go cheer for the Timberwolves. And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. Well, you know what? We didn't invent that. We just reflected it back to them. And that's all we do. Tankers, people who cheer for injury on our players, like the tankers have been doing, they are evil people. They do not belong in the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. We need to ostracize them. We need to push them out. And we need to tell them that they need to go cheer for the Timberwolves.
That's all we want. That's all we want is this team to have a voice, to be able to protect them, to say, being negative and talking about these guys losing, in order for us to lose, we have to, a couple more guys get injured. Like, this is the type of stuff that makes us very frustrated, and why Mark and I are here, because we're going to continue to stand up for this team. We're going to continue to stand up for the heart of this team, and we love the way that these guys have been fighting. And Mark, you know, as we wrap things up, I'm excited for the future of this team, and especially if we can snatch out a couple more wins before the All-Star break.
Absolutely, man. We're all set up to do it. You know, we've got that tough game against the Nuggets, and that's going to be a challenge, no doubt about that. But in the end, I have so much confidence in the way that our team continues to improve as a group, and we're getting back to full strength. And I really, really believe that this team is going to make that run to the playoffs that we keep talking about. Now, I know a lot of people call me crazy, they question my credentials, and that's fine. You're just going to have to sit back and watch this motherfucking season play out, because there's nothing short of watching it happen that's going to be able to satisfy either side of the debate. You cannot tank for half a year. If you start off slow and then you close and you make it to the playoffs, that's not called a tank. That's called a rebuild. Everybody needs to get used to it. And that's what we're here to say. This is a rebuild. This is not a tank. Thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we'll be back here tomorrow, looking forward to the upcoming game against the Hawks.